Some say we broadcast from a rock somewhere out in the universe. Some say we're on the rock that satellite is heading towards. But you know, that would be completely wrong. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the James Whale Radio Show.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
Ah, here we go. Very, very good. Good day to you, the James Whale Radio Show. Now, I'm a little bit cold ridden today. I'm a little bit bunged up, so I'll probably leave most of the program to Rob. If he can wake himself up, get out from under the table where he spends most of his time while we do this show. Are you there?
I'm in pain.
Why are you in pain? Look, don't try and outdo me. I am the one who's not feeling so good.
I can't move my neck. I'm in agony.
Well, listen, we've got a fairy on the show later. Perhaps we can get the fairy to do something about your neck.
I'm all drugged up. I might say stupid things, though.
If you say really stupid things, then I'm going to sack you as the producer of the show.
Oh, okay. It's the drugs. I've taken...
Because I'm proper... Never mind about drugs. Didn't hurt the stones. I'm properly ill, and I might have a coughing fit. Also, by the way, Stan Collymore has been making headlines, of course, in the newspapers recently, and his thoughts on Twitter. Now, I love Twitter. And I got into Twitter by my friend Eamon Holmes, and we're going to talk later to Eamon about his thoughts on Twitter. See, I told you I had a cough. Nobody believes me.
I believe you. I've got headphones on. All I can hear is coughing in my ears.
I'll have a drink of water. We want to say hi to all our friends listening all over the universe, and also All Hallows Radio, Miskin, is that right? Miskin Radio and TyneFM.com are just three more radio stations that have actually signed up to broadcast the James Whale Radio Show, which is very nice. So if you aren't able to listen to me on BBC Essex or BBC Kent or some other radio stations, you can listen to me right here all the time. And any other radio stations who want to take the program, get in touch with Rob and we'll tell you what to do. Did I say talentgb.com?
No, you didn't.
I'll say, what did I say?
You didn't say anything.
Because I wanted to mention talentgb.com.
We've done that now several times.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Fine. So anyway, welcome to the programme, as I said before. I've forgotten completely what I was talking about. Oh, Twitter. Yeah. Well, listen, let's talk a bit about Twitter before we do anything else. You're a tweeter, aren't you?
At Dead Air Podcast, yes.
Yeah. Not as good as me, but you do tweet.
Mm-hmm.
I love Twitter. And Twitter, to me, I'll give you my thoughts before we then have a chat with Eamon, shall I? My thoughts on... I'll tell you why. Because once we start talking to Eamon, it won't be very easy to get a word in.
Sorry, I just found my pen.
You're not listening to a word I'm saying, are you?
No, I was looking for my pen.
So this show is so fascinating and interesting that you go off looking for your pen.
I need a pen.
Yeah. You know, I know what you need. What were we talking about? Twitter.
Eamon Holmes.
No, well, we'll talk to Eamon in a minute. No, Eamon likes Twitter. I like Twitter. And people get really upset about trolls. What I don't understand is Twitter is a broadcast medium. There are rules and regulations. I don't understand why they're not enforced the same way that we couldn't say certain things on the air here. Why are you able to get away with it, or seem to be able to get away with it, on Twitter?
There's too many people to police.
Well, what do you mean, too many people?
There are thousands of trolls, unfortunately, on Twitter. You'd have to prosecute them all.
Yeah, but if somebody, for argument's sake, Stan Collymore has been complaining that he's been racially abused and people have actually threatened to kill him.
That's in a different league to a troll, though, and I'm sure the police can find them.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know, the sort of abuse, the kind of abuse I probably would give to you or you, me. I mean, I'm not talking about that. But if somebody threatens to kill somebody, then those people should be prosecuted.
Definitely.
But if you're not thick-skinned, don't go on Twitter.
Oh, really?
I don't think. I mean, and I don't think other people realise it. Parents let their kids do this thing without actually, you know, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old kids on Twitter or other social networking sites without any kind of parental control. That's barking mad.
Is Twitter open to kids then?
Well, how can you tell how old somebody is on there?
Well, I suppose I have to lie to fill out the application.
Well, of course.
Yeah, because on Facebook you have to be 13.
Yeah, but equally, I don't think people, you know, people probably can get on lying, can't they?
Well, Facebook's quite hard because you have to register your phone number and so on, do quite a lot of stuff.
I can't remember how you do. Don't you have to do anything like that on Twitter?
I don't think so.
No. Well, anyway, all I'm saying is that I've noticed a lot of people moaning about freedom of speech is going to be... It's got nothing to do with freedom of speech. Excuse me. If you're an idiot, then you shouldn't be heard anyway, really, should you? I mean, if you're a person who just thinks they can abuse people, and if they don't like something they say, then you can threaten to kill them or just be abusive about their friends and family, then you don't deserve to have free speech.
Well, should we phone your friend Eamon, then?
Why don't we call Eamon and why don't we talk to him about this first of all? And while you're doing that, let me just remind you that you can now obtain a copy of my book, the audio version that I recorded a while ago when I hadn't got a cold, so you'll be able to understand what I'm talking about. And if you download it, you can download it for free, by the way. And if you do that, then that helps towards keeping the programme going. Otherwise, we're going to have to stuff it full of commercials. So if you go and you want to do this, all you've got to do is go to the website jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link. All you've got to do, if you are already a member of Amazon, it'll be dead easy. You get a free book, okay? Look for my book, James Whale, Almost a Celebrity. Download it. It's like a book club. The first book you get is absolutely free. So you go to Audible and you look for... James Whale, Almost a Celebrity. And for good, please, can you do this? Because I spent days reading this flipping thing and I want someone to listen to it. And when you've listened to it, then you can give us a call or you can email me or text me or whatever and tell me what you thought. So if you go there, jameswhaleradio.co.uk, click on the Audible link and you can have the audio version of my book absolutely free. So let's talk to Mr. Eamon Holmes after this.
You are listening to James and Rob on the James Whale Radio Show.
So Twitter is one of those things that I never used to do, but Eamon Holmes insisted that I should go on Twitter, so I did. Eamon joins me now. Eamon, are we going to be inundated with trolls now after what Stan Collymore is doing?
Well, not if you don't talk about football. If you stay clear of football, basically, by and large, you may be okay. And really, if you don't proffer an opinion on anything, you will do well. So there's lots of nice people out there who I could name but not, but you know them and I know them, and they don't really have opinions. They just say, thank you, that was lovely, thanks, see you next time. They do little messages like this. They're boring. They have very little followers.
Very. Right?
But they don't get trolled, and they don't get anything nasty said to them. I know lots of people on telly, and most of them would be women, would say, oh, I've never had a bad message, I've never had a nasty message. That's because they never say anything with an opinion. Once you have an opinion, and look at you, Mr. James, you're a man of opinions, as am I, well, then you're in trouble. Now, I like you, I like the banter, I like the debate, I like the regulars that you get there on Twitter. But then some people just take it too extreme and they're just waiting for an opportunity. And it's more than shock factor. It's quite disgusting, some of it. And people say, I've been reading Twitter today and people say, oh, are we banning free speech? Are we doing, look, threatening to murder someone, you know, isn't free speech. You know, that's not what it's about. That's not what this thing was created for. Collymore's situation is his opinion as a football commentator, a player took a dive. The people who support that club don't think he's entitled to that opinion. Now, I like my football, but I've learned to say relatively little about football, and especially nothing that refers to anyone else's team but my own, because the floodgates of hell will open after that.
This is a bit sad, isn't it, really, Eamon, that free speech doesn't apply to football fans, because football fans, not all, obviously, this is a minority, thankfully, but a minority of football fans...
Oh, I tell you what, mate, I think there's... Honestly, have an experiment. If you really want to have an experiment, pick a team, any team you want in the league, and say something like, I don't think they're very good, or they'll be relegated, or they're rubbish, or something like that. Try it, my friend, and see the strength of opinion, or more than that, of insult that comes back to you, honestly.
So what's wrong with these people? I mean, why can't they take debate in the sort of way it is meant? I mean, politicians, and me, various other people, we'll have a good old argument about stuff, but we don't resort to saying, I'm going to come round and kill you, I'm going to eat your children, or whatever else it might be.
And that's what you're talking about, that and even more sinister. I really don't know. I love my club. I love debating it. I get down in the dumps when they're beaten. I can take the banter from people who bait me about it when we are defeated. It doesn't make me want to knife any of them, kill any of their children, break a bottle over their head. It's part of the ups and downs of what is football, and we're all one family in it because, you know, people experience the same highs and lows no matter what team they support. But some people feel different about it. There's nothing else in their life that's stronger than religion. It's a drug to them. I really don't get it. And you know, there's another thing that, especially when you're in the public eye, you're always open to everybody thinks your life is better than theirs, therefore they hate you. They hate you even more. So you shouldn't be entitled to anything. You shouldn't be entitled to breathe air. You shouldn't be entitled to have any form of happiness. Your life will always be easier than theirs. They never think that you've actually had to work hard to get to where you are, or maybe you've just been very lucky. I don't know. But I don't. When I go on Twitter, I don't wish harm to anyone. But I do, if someone wishes harm to me, I will respond. I will sort of retaliate. And you know what? I've learned to ignore quite a lot of it because a lot of them just want a response. They want to know they've poked you and you've responded, or that you're actually speaking to them. You've taken notice of them because probably nobody takes notice of them in their whole life. But normally I just reach now for that block button and I just block them. And I think, oh, you know, women, I have 650,000 followers. You have two. So basically, you know, that says it all. Forget that. It's not worth entering into a debate.
Do you think Stan Collymore was right to go publicly and be so upset as he has done?
I think Twitter can hurt. I really do think it can hurt. He's also in an arena where he goes to stadiums and people are all around him. Football people can be the nicest people in the world and they can be the most intimidating people in the world. If he feels very strongly about it, and if he feels that, you know, in everyday life you wouldn't be able to insult my race, my creed, my beliefs, my opinions, you wouldn't be able to threaten to murder me, then that is an individual thing. And I think when you do look at the Stan Collymore tweets, they are very, very strong against him. Look, I listen to Stan Collymore all the time on the radio. He is opinionated. He's excited. But get it through your head, people. It's a game. It's entertainment. Now, I can. People will say to me about certain interviews, oh, you are biased or you're one-sided. I could do every interview straight down the middle. Hello, sir. Could you respond to this? Then ask him another question. Balance on. Boring, boring, boring. Right. It's a competition out there. You've got to get people listening to your program or watching your program. That is what it's about. I can take Stan Collymore in the spirit in which it's intended. I can sometimes mutter at the radio and say, oh, for goodness sake, oh, give over. Oh, no, that's so not right. But it doesn't want to make me do it. I actually quite enjoy responding to that, talking to myself. But, you know, I don't want to do any more. People, get a grip. Realize the man's got a job to do. That's what he does. And it's not the end of the world.
Well, if you found yourself alone in a bunch of Manchester City fans, would you be safe?
Listen, when I meet Manchester City fans on a day-to-day basis, and the crack is good, the banter is good, they're on the up, they have a superb team, absolutely superb. They are what we used to be at Manchester United. They're riding the high wave this season, next season, maybe, you know, for a few seasons ahead. It is their time now, and, you know, the banter's fine. I get on well with them. I don't think I've come across any Manchester City fan on Twitter that remotely thinks that I should be alive or be on Twitter or have an opinion or whatever. So there are recurring words that come up when particularly Manchester City fans or Liverpool fans or even Stoke City fans. There's lots of different teams that for some reason decide they hate you at that particular time, and it's really all quite predictable what they say. So you just block. You see it and you just move on.
Do you block everybody that has a go at you, or just occasionally when you see them?
No, because I think sometimes, goodness me, I think you learn an awful lot. I mean, if you sit and you do what you do, or what I do, sometimes people will say to you, I think you should have approached it this way. I don't think you should have done that. And you think, yeah, fair point. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I don't have a monopoly of knowledge. I love people's insight on things. And I think you can learn an awful lot and respect people. And you will have regulars on Twitter, people who you will respect. That might be 100 regulars, 200 regulars, or maybe 5 regulars. But you think you begin to value certain people's opinion, and then you have conversations with them. You're not really going to have much of a conversation with somebody who's just... I mean, yesterday was quite funny. I did an interview on Sky News, and basically it was somebody who represented a commercial company. And the more abusive criticisms came from people who worked in PR, which I find hilariously funny. And these were chief executives and various things like that. Or they run their little tiny PR company. They call themselves chief executive. You'll have two people working under them and that sort of thing. And the thing is, PR companies today believe, they want to be able to say to their client, I'll get you on the telly, I'll get you on the radio, and you can say what you want. Great. And it's such a shock. And this is by and large true. I mean, if you want to interview a film star, basically, you can't ask them the questions you want to ask. You have got to ask the questions that the production team of the movie wants you to ask. And how do they get away with that? Well, actually, they supply the cameras and they supply the tapes. And if you ask anything that they don't like, they take the tape out of the camera and they go away with it. That's it. You don't get it. So the condition is you only get to interview some top people if you don't bring along your own cameras and your own tapes. Now, I love making a stand for these people. And it's actually fantastic to irritate them, to actually believe that they don't control. When I went into journalism, the idea was that you question people all the time and you look for another way, and you play devil's advocate quite a lot. But now PR companies believe a client pays them lots of money, and they can believe they promise a client 4 minutes live on air or whatever, 4 minutes airtime, unchallenged, to get the brand across or the message across or whatever. And it's actually fantastic to get that sort of abuse on Twitter, because then I realise, job done, good job.
Yeah, we have to make sure that they don't do that. You know, it's getting worse. And I'll tell you, just briefly off the point of Twitter for a moment, that PR companies are now moving into politics, and politicians are going to try and cotton on to the same idea. Well, we'll supply the tapes and the cameras. You can do an interview with this minister or that minister, but we'll only give you the tape if we like the way you did the interview.
In the pursuit for ratings, broadcasters are giving into this. And this is, we've got a job to do. We've got to challenge that all the time. And you make cheap programs, because basically you're not, as a TV company, you wouldn't be paying for a crew. So therefore you can go on to lots of stations that you'll see worldwide. And it's usually about entertainment, and it's usually American, and it's whatever. And it's just full of what the record companies, the movie companies, the DVD companies, the download companies, it's what they want to get out there. And it's just a complete advertisement. And you just can't ask anything that is off message. So I absolutely agree with you.
That's actually why Twitter is so useful.
Indeed. And listen, I wouldn't be one of these people that say stop free speech and you shouldn't be able to say what you want and whatever. Yes, but come on, folk. We all know the difference between what is free speech and what is just hooliganism and vandalism and just insulting. I noticed it's interesting that the Church of England this week have published Twitter commandments.
And, you know, the Ten Commandments, yes, of Twitter.
And you'll laugh about this immediately. But actually, in terms of common decency and respect about treating others or how you would like to be treated, there is a lot to be said about that, to actually how you would treat a person in real life. You wouldn't walk up to a person in real life and immediately insult them. But people do on Twitter. And sometimes you've got to say, if my children were to read this, or my parents were to read this, or my employer was to read this and realize it's me, because you can often have a disguised name on Twitter, would they be proud of me? Is this the right thing? And this is the good thing. And the other thing I just want to say, from a comical point of view, this amazes me. You can get the most abusive and quite often tweets. And these are often from people who are in pressure groups, or, you know, I'm not even going to say what type of people they are, because it'll only start them off again. But then you click and you get the profile of the person, and this is the funny bit, they will say the most hideous, horrible thing. And then it says, I'm a really nice, good guy. I look after the elderly and the sick. My kids are my life. I love everyone. You know, you get this sort of rubbish that they actually believe. They live in their little world, and the bile and the vitriol that they spew time after time. And I have had I've had school teachers who have sent me stuff, not because I've talked about schools or anything like that. It doesn't matter what the subject is. It could be football. And the language, horrendous. And often I would retweet that, and I would say, I hope your children and your school are really proud to have you as their, you know, head of form or whatever it happens.
Mm. Do you follow James Blunt?
I do not. The singer. I believe he's very good. I believe he retweets the people who insult him. Does he not?
I do that. I do that. Yeah. And that usually allows your followers to play around with them. And that's quite funny. But James Blunt has got some of the best comebacks I've ever read. You should read what he says. But listen, just before you go, here's the thing. Never mind about the top 10 commandments of the Church of England or anything else. As Twitter is a broadcast. When we're on Twitter, we're broadcasting. Now, if you and I on Sky News one morning were to say some of the things that some people on Twitter say, we would be in trouble, big trouble. Now, the same law applies to you on Twitter because it's a broadcast. Why isn't anybody enforcing the law?
This is very, very true. That is a very good question, which I can't really answer. I think it is a monumental task when you look at the amount of people who must use it, not only in the UK, but worldwide. But however, you cannot have it both ways, Twitter. You cannot be out there floating on the stock market, making a lot of money out of this, and not policing it and not take it seriously. So that is not my problem. You've said to me, come play with this. You have to police it. You've got to do something about it. I'm talking about policing it. Our police have enough to do in their lives dealing with real crime without Twitter creating more problems for them, more paperwork for them. And I think if Twitter are the people who are making money out of it, Twitter are the people who've got to be responsible for it. And there should be watchdogs on that, ready to find Twitter, close them down, penalize them in some sort of way.
Are you going to stop using Twitter after this or not?
Oh, no. I'll continue. Sometimes I need Twitter holidays, it has to be said. Sometimes it gets a bit intense. And you know, you think, walk away from it. I don't need this today. Or maybe I've made a mistake on air, on television. And I know I've made a mistake. I think that's fair enough. And I don't need to be reminded of it on Twitter. And I think, right, message taken, that will not happen again. Or I was in the wrong, that's fine. But what annoys me is if I, and this has happened to me in the past, if you say something on air which is either totally well meant or is perfectly correct to say or have an opinion on air on television, you will get people, particularly newspapers, who will get pressure groups and vested interests and report the thing out of context. And then it whips up a storm on Twitter, and there's this sort of vile reaction on Twitter from people who haven't watched or seen what you've done, but they just have an opinion about you. So unfortunately, we can only hope that more people like us than don't like us. But it's very funny, of my followers, I have more followers from, where do you think most of my followers come from?
Do you mean geographically? Or?
Yeah, geographically, you can do the analytics on this, and you can actually see, you can log in and you can see who follows you from where. So in the UK, geographically, I'm Northern Irish, I'm from Belfast, I support Manchester United, and I live in the London area. So where would my followers, most of my followers, be from?
Australia.
No, in the UK.
All right, I would imagine most of them come from the south.
See, I would have thought quite a lot of them be in Ireland or maybe Manchester.
No.
By far and away, most of my followers, some 10% or 12%, are from Liverpool. And I love Liverpool people. I love Liverpool people. But I somehow suspect that a lot of them are football supporters who are just following me to give me abuse, really. That's the way it is. That's it.
Well, you know what they say, sticks and stones, that's the only way to look at it.
Okay.
Take it easy, my friend. See you soon.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll tweet you tonight. Tweet me the link to this and I'll retweet it.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. James Whale, the voice of reason on the James
Whale Radio Show. Thanks, Eamon. Now, before we go any further, if you have any thoughts on Twitter, you could tweet me. You could tweet me and you know, I don't really care if you want to be rude. It's always better to get funny, entertaining tweets. And if you're not following me on Twitter, why not? Follow me on Twitter. There are a few, but it's The James Whale. Follow me at The James Whale. You can be our friends on Facebook, can't they, Rob? What do they do on Facebook?
They can. Just go to facebook.com/ James Whale Radio.
Yeah, and did I mention before we talked to Eamon about getting my free book?
You did.
Yeah. Then you can take it to bed. Or, as somebody said the other day, I'm going to download your book. Then I can listen to it in the gym.
That's
a good
idea.
Listening in the gym?
It's a good idea.
All right. Oh, I tell you, there's another thing. You ran me very upset the other day, Rob, with apparently we've got a terabyte of whatever. What did you... Is that something we need to be worried about?
No, it's just that obviously I monitor the website stats, as it were, and we get a lot of people going to our website. But at one particular day last week, we had almost 30 times the average daily rate, which is a lot anyway. It was like a huge spike. So I wondered if there's somebody out there somewhere, you know, promoting the show that we don't know about.
Yeah. Who can't get enough?
Yeah.
Who just can't get enough whale? Get the book.
Some insomniac.
Yeah, yeah. But very nice to know. Don't forget, of course, if you're listening via the radio as well to this, tell your friends to tune in. You can pick us up. You can re-listen again if you go to iTunes, isn't it? And you can download us on iTunes.
Yep, or YouTube or Audioboo or Talent GB. Yep. There's loads of places.
Fabulous. Fab-u-less. Now, let us talk about Fernando Sebastian Aguilar.
Who?
Are you a fan?
Who is he?
Fernando Sebastian Aguilar.
Footballer.
No, you'd think he was a footballer, actually, but he's one of the Pope's newest cardinals. Now, it's pretty... I don't wish to offend any Catholics, obviously. I am a great believer in live and let live. You can be any sort of religion you want as long as you accept everybody else and accept all people. Creeds, colours, races, whatever. So we live in a world where we all have different beliefs. We all have different likes and dislikes. And as long as we allow other people to be themselves and not interfere, that's good. Do you agree?
I agree, totally.
Good, yeah. Now, one of the Pope's newest cardinals, not a football player, Fernando Sebastian Aguilar. Interesting, actually, because the Pope needs new cardinals, because, you know, they've very quietly over the last year, I don't know whether you heard this, they've got rid of around about 400 Catholic priests have been got rid of quietly because of sexual abuse allegations. And quite rightly, too. Quite rightly, too. But this one, Fernando Sebastian Aguilar, is one of the Pope's newest cardinals, and he has claimed, and you know this thing, this sort of thing really, really annoys me. He's claimed that homosexuality is a physical defect that can be cured.
Really?
I did a radio program many years ago when I invited on one of my late night shows, and I invited on this bishop from I can't remember the church, but in northeast London, I think up near Leytonstone. He had a church, I think, up there, and bishop something or other. And it's one of these sort of charismatic churches. And he came in because he'd been in the press for saying he could actually cure homosexuals. If they rang in, he would pray for them and they would be cured. I mean, this is the most offensive thing, and I have no idea why, funnily enough, we're going to be talking, and you have to understand the humor of this, we're going to be talking to the wedding fairy later on in the program about weddings. But the wedding fairy, as the name may suggest, is a wedding planner who is very happy. very happy in his job. A very good job. He's like a fairy who spreads glitter all over the place. He's a, and that's what he calls himself, the wedding fairy. That's his name. Anyway, I digress slightly because this is annoying. And it seems that a lot of these religions, I don't follow any religion. I follow the religion of understanding, love for thy fellow man, thy fellow animal, love to everybody. You know, let's just, why is there so much hatred caused in the world by people who say it's their religion? And now we've got all this from the Catholics, this Pope Fernando Sabbatiquila saying that if you're gay, it's a physical defect and it can be cured. You know, this is from people who shut themselves away and behave in... It really annoys me. David Boyd said, James, with the sex horror stories involving the Catholic Church, do these people never learn? And, David, I think to be quite honest, you're right. If you want to get in touch, by the way, Facebook us, just go to facebook.com/ James Whale Radio, and you can let me know your thoughts there. We're going to have a program text number you can text me on as well in the next couple of weeks. Kathy Hall says, talking about this Fernando Sebastian Aquilia, what a great name. He's a good name for a footballer. Kathy says, only when they realise that the Bible is a translation from an old language, so would the word homosexual be around then? Maybe he should shout more of how disgusting he finds the priests who committed sexual crimes against children. And, you know, I don't think the Catholics are going to do themselves any favours with people like this bloke going on like this at all. Gary Elms reckons the Pope might have something to say about it, but if they can cure homosexuality, does that mean we get endless summers? If things go pear-shaped for this cardinal, he won't worry. Always a job at UKIP for him. Oh, well, that flipping ridiculous bloke. Well, Nigel Farage has got rid of him anyway. I suppose that's one good thing. And Christopher Poole says it's reassuring to know that the mad mullahs have their equal in the barking Christians. So that keeps everything sort of on an even keel, I suppose. Jonathan Cooper got in touch. He said, can you imagine what the world would be like if we took the prattlings of these insane religious leaders seriously? And one last one from Alexandra Roberts, who says, I wish there were no religion at all. What a waste of time and money religion is, equals making people feel like they are worthless since the year dot. And I think in the interests of fairness, we should get a priest on the programme in the next few weeks and talk. Because, you know, I have no real problem with any religion, as long as they don't go on about how awful certain people are, who are, you know, gay people in the main. Get on with their lives like heterosexual people. Just get on with their lives. Don't cause anybody any harm. Why is it some people feel so threatened by somebody who is different? I mean, Rob, you don't feel threatened by me, do you?
Well, no, because not at the moment. There's a big table between us.
Yeah, well, that wasn't really the answer I was looking for, but I suppose it'll have to do. Haven't you got a thought on that?
Yeah, if he believes everything he's saying is true, has he never thought that these people might not want to be cured?
Well, that's a very good point, but, you know, I'm absolutely sure, because people say, you know, there are some people who say you can catch homosexuality if you hang around gay people too much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would be gay then.
But you're not.
Well, not according to you, me and Mrs. W, but if you read what they say about me on Wikipedia...
Really?
If I find the person who keeps making these insinuations, I shall be very angry.
I've done edits on your Wikipedia page.
Yeah, it's you, is it?
I don't remember saying that you were possibly gay, though.
Well, that's all right, then. No, I think somebody commented on my flamboyant dress. Oh. My dress is not very flamboyant. It's a rather cut on the bust, rather off-the-shoulder number. Sure. Do you think it'd be too much to talk to the wedding fairy after talking about homosexuality? Do you think that would be too much?
I think we should phone the fairy.
You think so?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. James Whale! James Whale! James Whale Radio Show! Now, February, of course, is not far away. February, the month when people's attention turned to love... And, of course, David Cameron said the other day he's very keen on the institution of marriage. And a lot of people are now saying marriage is the way forward. And if there's anybody that knows more about marriages than anyone else, it's my very good friend Greg. It's my very good friend George. Can't read my own writing, George. Listen, could I just call you Fairy, George?
Yeah, I'm so much more of a George than Greg, James, you know that.
I know. I don't know. I've written this down. I just think of you as the wedding fairy, really, and I think that's all. I'm just going to call you the wedding fairy.
Yeah, I think that's me, you know. The king of the wedding world, I was called the other day, which I'm kind of loving also, you know.
Well, yes, and as long as you're okay with the word fairy, and I'm not going to get into trouble from you for being a bully or sexist, that's all right.
I'm fabulous with fairy, you know. Listen, as I always say to you, weddings are campus Christmas. It's all cake, flowers and dresses. There is more bling in my wardrobe than Beyonce, so I'm happy with fairy.
Well, actually, let me just ask you that question because, obviously, you are Britain's premier wedding planner, and we will get around to talking about that generally in a moment. Valentine's Day is coming up. February is a big month, of course, for planning weddings. But how did you feel the other day when that ridiculously stupid little man, a UKIP councillor, suggested the bad weather was caused because the government had allowed gay marriage?
Do you know what? It is beyond shocking that these kind of statements are made. And, you know, I know we've spoken about this kind of stuff loads between us, but you know what? This is how these kind of things start, you know? It's just some crazy guy comes out and drops a comment like that. And, you know, it could whip up into something a lot bigger. People are kind of laughing it off right now. But it could start a crazy, you know, trend of sort of homophobia across the UK. It's kind of how it starts, right?
It's a ridiculously stupid thing for people to say. And some people will say you calling yourself the wedding fairy is perpetuating people's myths and things like that. But I've met you well, only once in the flesh, to be honest, George. And I don't think I've met a more relaxed, entertaining person for a long time.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, I mean, I just think, you know, obviously I exist in a wedding world. It's all light and fun. And so, you know, the wedding fairy, the connotation there is really about, you know, making the I do happen. And it kind of, I guess, reflects the whole of the wedding world. I mean, some people will take it down a particular road, but for me, it's all about, you know, just having fun, really.
If two people of the same sex, be they men or women, want you to plan the wedding, is it different to planning? Is a gay wedding different to a heterosexual wedding?
I mean, the fundamentals are really the same. I mean, I think, and that will be more so, you know, when gay marriage is, you know, is kind of you know, fully legalized. But, you know, the principles are very much the same, which is kind of, you know, that sort of sealing the deal, you know, as I like to say. But, you know, the thing with, you know, even with the gay marriage, I mean, that is causing a lot of controversy, you know, and, you know, I myself wrote an article very recently that said, you know, is there really a point to go into gay marriage if, you know, the Church of England is not behind such a move?
Weddings don't have to be religious, do they, George? They don't have to. They don't have to be in a church.
No, they certainly don't. But that's why we have civil partnerships. You know, civil partnerships were, you know, created as a new way of bringing together, you know, gay couples. And I think that most gay people in the gay community are very happy with that. But, you know, for whatever reason, probably for, you know, vote purposes, the, you know, political powers that be have decided that, you know, they want to, you know, bring about a gay marriage. But without the kind of, and whether it's important to you or not, it doesn't really matter. But the bigger picture is, if a vicar or a priest is not allowed, or not allowed to make the decision of actually marrying a couple in church, then to me, it seems like I'm not sure what the point of the shift is to the that tradition. Why not stick with what we already have? And I think actually a lot of the gay community actually feel and believe that. I think that, you know, there's this sort of whirlwind that's kind of sweeping along. But actually, you know, a lot of people, you know, are happy with how things are, actually.
Right. Let's talk about weddings per se. Because I got married many, many years ago, and if I'd known you, George, you could have organised the wedding, but the budget for my wedding was 7 shillings and 6p. I think that was the dog licence. But whatever the cost of the licence was about the budget of the wedding. Apparently today, an average budget for a wedding is about, what, £20,000?
Well, you know, I mean, again, that's a figure that's sort of, you know, a bit plucked out of the air, I guess. You know, I think the average wedding is probably more towards 10. But, you know, if you sort of equated, you know, the £1 million weddings and the, you know, and the £500 weddings, put them all together, you'd probably come up with 20,000. But, yeah, I mean, I think around about 10,000, which, to be honest, is still a huge amount of money. I mean, it's a huge, you know, people are still investing big time in weddings. And, you know, which is obviously very exciting for me, but there still does, you know, there is still that tradition of, you know, of kind of investing in that big day.
Now, I mean, the recession is over. Presumably, that means that people are going to think about spending more on weddings. I mean, have you got an order book? Do you have an order book? Have you got bookings running into the future? What happens if somebody wants the wedding fairy to do their wedding?
Yeah, well, exactly. You know, I've been running wedding planning sessions and have, you know, inundated with wedding planning inspiration sessions and, you know, people coming to me for advice and booking. So there does very much feel that kind of, you know, everything on a budget sort of phase that we went through, where we had to try and, you know, put a wedding together for £5, that does seem to have sort of moved on somewhat. And I think, you know, weddings now are very much in vogue, you know, and maybe that is due to the fact that, you know, that gay marriage is now, you know, on the cards and prevalent. And, you know, in general, and I'm sure the Royal Wedding, you know, in general, weddings feel very sort of, you know, of the moment right now. And I guess that, you know, that's also the one thing that people want to invest in. And of course, you know, celebrity weddings, you know, it's all about, you know, bigger and better and different as well. So people are always looking for, you know, to do something different.
Does somebody have to have a lot of money to come to you, George? I mean, if they want you to plan their wedding, they're obviously going to be paying a certain amount of money on top. Or would you say that you're a saving? Having someone like you, you know where to get the flowers and the catering. You know where to hire the musicians, presumably. You do all of that.
I can do cheap. I can do budget. But at the same time, I love a little bit of glitz. So, you know, you can work with any budget. I mean, ultimately, that's a very good point you make there, because a lot of people, you know, think, you know, a wedding planner is going to, you know, cost the earth. But again, you know all the secrets of the trade. You know how to save money. And, you know, in a lot of cases, there's a big markup on weddings, because in a lot of cases, it's, you know, very local. You know, your venue, your florist, your cake maker is on a local level. So there's often quite a big markup. So, you know, you need to be asking the right questions, doing the right things. And, you know, with so many, a lot of experience, and has, you know, a book full of suppliers, that's where you actually save the money.
What happens if a couple come to you? Well, presumably it's the bride and her mother who usually come to talk to you. What happens if you just can't stand them?
Oh, goodness, that's happened. I mean, listen, I'm a professional, so I can deal with all eventualities. I've dealt with a death threat. You know, a death threat via a mother of the bride who was just utterly hysterical. So if I can deal with a death threat, I can pretty much deal with anything.
Now, you've written a book called Big Day Breakdown. Is this likely to put you out of business? I mean, if we get hold of the Big Day Breakdown, George, we don't need to hire you, do we?
Listen, everything is in that book to plan a wedding. And I can't split myself into 5,000 pieces. So people need to read this book. The idea is that, listen, you can plan your entire entire wedding for just £5 or whatever that costs. And you know, everything's in there, a breakdown of what's doing when. Because that's the big thing, you know. People get really, one of the big panics people is, you know, where do I start? What do I start to do first? What's the most important thing? How do I remember to do this, that, or the other? Also, you know, key things to ask suppliers and, you know, inspiration, things that, you know, that are really going to make your day different, that, you know, you probably wouldn't have thought of.
Do you know, I think I'm going to get myself licensed to hold weddings. For those people who don't want to go down the religious road, I could be like the bishop.
And we could do them live on air, and I could like pimp up the studio. We could theme it. It would be absolutely amazing. Because you know what? That's a really big thing. You know, actually, right now, people are moving away from religious ceremonies, and they are really, you know, hitting the Reggie office, as I like to say. And, you know, that they're going for a civil, you know, service. And I think that is, you know, that's very interesting that people are moving away from the church, you know?
Well, just put me down on your list of contacts, George. And if anybody wants me to administer at their wedding, you can get me through the wedding fairy. And if you want the wedding fairy, you can get in touch with the James Whale program here. You can just get me on jameswhaleradio@gmail.com, and we'll put you in touch with the wedding fairy. And who knows, for that little extra something, I will come along and entertain at the reception.
Oh, my gosh, how brilliant would that be? That would be a party, I'm telling you. That would be a real party. I can feel it in my bones.
I could do a little interview on the stage with the bride and groom and the bride's family and the groom's family. It could be like a sort of chat show. Well, that would be good, wouldn't it, George? I think this has got some
wedding
legs.
The wedding chat show. Can you imagine? That would be really, really interesting.
Well, listen, I think it'll be good. George, thank you very much indeed for your time. The book is out now. And if we get anybody interested in being married on this program, then we'll talk about it.
Fabulous. Yes. Get in touch, because we will make it the greatest day of your life. It'll be the most spectacular wedding.
George, talk soon. Thank you.
Total pleasure. Thanks, James. Bye-bye.
Bye, love. Bye. Did you like my friend George?
Was it George or Jeff?
No, it was George. Well, just fairy. Fairy to his friends.
I'm sure he's a fairy to everyone.
Did I ever tell you my wedding? How my wedding was?
I do know that you got married.
Yeah, I got married at King's Cross Registry Office. And it was a bit of a shotgun wedding, really. Mrs. W and I went down to the registry office with our parents from my dad's pub in King's Cross. And my mother insisted we get it all finished so she could get back and watch Crossroads on the television.
Big fan, was she?
Yeah, big fan of Crossroads. So the wedding ceremony took place, a drink in the pub, and then everybody back to what they were doing. It was like that. What was yours like?
Big stately home, posh cars, Bon Jovi turned up to sing live in the evening. It was great.
Gosh, wouldn't you have loved to have George organise your wedding? Come on, you would.
He sounds fun.
Oh, he's a lot of fun. Actually, I think I've probably cottoned onto a great idea here. Getting somebody married on the programme. Being the wedding bishop.
Well, you are a bishop, aren't you?
In the Raelian Church, yes, obviously I am.
Well, there you go then.
But I just think that might be quite fun. And doing sort of, instead of having those boring speeches made by people who don't really want to do it and get very nervous, I can go along and interview the bridegroom. Interview the bride, you know, up there on stage whilst everybody else is having dinner.
I go with that.
I think I found myself a new niche. Shall we get a bit of music on the programme?
Why not?
Yeah, so we need some more music. Not over yet from the album Songs from a Satellite. This is Black Heart. See what you think of this.
What if the engine
Now, competition time. Last week's competition winner was Gilly Butler. Well done, Gilly. And the competition is dead simple. We run it every week. You have a chance to win a signed copy of the book, not just an audio version that you can get free, but a signed copy of the book. And you can get some music, a copy of Gate 36 by Electropilot. And the question, as usual, well, there's no question, just share the link of this show on Facebook, and we will pick a winner from the share list. Just go to facebook.com/James Whale Radio. Share the link with your mates. We'll pick somebody out. Last week's winner was, Rob?
Gilly Butler.
Gilly Butler. Right. Well done to Gilly Butler, and thank you very much indeed for entering. I did tell you how to get a free copy of my book, the audio version, didn't I?
You did. Just click on the link on the James Whale website, jameswhaleradio.co.uk. And just follow. It's all self-explanatory.
Yeah, but pick my book.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, but, you know, pick my book. Actually, while we're giving stuff away, and if you use these things, I hope you will, it helps to fund the show too. And that will enable us to keep going. I think I better go and sit down. I've got to prepare another show. Oh, dear. Yeah, so we'll be back same time next week, you and me, won't we?
If you haven't suddenly taken, you know, really ill.
Hopefully. No, I hope. Well, me? What about you? You've done nothing but flipping moan. Oh, this is a bad cough, mate.
The drugs are kicking in now. I'm all right.
Are you sure?
Well, I've had a couple of packets of them. I'm feeling good.
Do you not read the small print on the back of... you should, you know. If you actually ever bother to read the print that is so small you need a magnifying glass on the back of drugs you buy over-the-counter in chemists. If you ever read that small print, you'd never take any of it.
Well, I've taken a lot, because I reckon if you take more, then you'll recover quicker.
Well, no, it won't, because the one thing they all seem, and I'll leave everybody with this thought, the one thing that they all seem to have in common is they give you the runs.
Oh, poo.
James Whale, the voice of reason on the James Whale Radio Show.
You're listening to the James Whale Radio Show. For more information, visit www.jameswhaleradio.co.uk. Why not check us out on facebook.com/JamesWhale Radio Show or follow James on Twitter @TheJamesWhale. James Whale, the voice of reason.